Happy Sabbath again. And it is a beautiful Sabbath morning. And I was a little remiss. We have visitors and we are so happy. You want to tell us who you are? We're happy to have you. Where are you from? You settling in the area? All right. Well, the doors are always open here. We're so glad that you are here with us this morning. How many of us have recuperated from Thursday? Do you remember what Grant said last week about overindulgence? Nobody overindulged, did they? I'm sure we didn't. I said to somebody that I'm glad that Thanksgiving and Christmas are only one day out of a year. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get through my door. It looks like I'm not going to be able to get through there anyway, but God is good, isn't he? And he gives us blessings. And we are just so thankful for him. Let us pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, as Anne reminds us from the Psalms, that the psalmist says that you load us down with blessings. And we just appreciate you so much for what you do in our lives and how close you are to us and how you take care of us. There is no one like you. And we come this morning to worship you. We thank you that you have been with us through the day, that you have had us to benefit from studying your word. You've had us to rejoice by singing your songs and singing praises to you. You've had us participate in your ministry by returning to you the tithes that you've given to us and by our giving offerings. And now you have us come to this special time when you would have us to be blessed by your word. And I ask that you would hide me behind Jesus. Let me step aside, please. And let you, through your Holy Spirit, speak through me the words that you have given me to say. And I pray that someone will be blessed and will leave this place better than they came because of who you are and because of the love that you have for us. And I pray this prayer in the very sweet and precious name of Jesus. Amen. I know that when you sat down on Thursday to eat that food, the bounty that God had given to you, that there was a blessing and that there was thanksgiving that was said. You thanked the Lord for a specific and for general blessings. And I was reading the paper, and I read Dear Abby. I don't know if you read Dear Abby or not, but I do. Her mother, Pauline Phillips, has written a special prayer for Thanksgiving. And she said that it was very special to her that they could not go through the day without reading it, without reciting it. So I just want to read to you the prayer that Pauline Phillips, the mother of Dear Abby, has written. O Heavenly Father, we thank thee for food and remember the hungry. We thank thee for health and remember the sick. We thank thee for freedom and remember the enslaved. May these remembrances stir us to service, that thy gifts to us may be used for others. Amen. If we would keep that in mind, that what God has given to us, then we are responsible for passing on to others, then the world would be a better place for us to live. I think this is an appropriate prayer. We are told by the psalmist that we should praise God all of the time. He says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. We should ever remember that thanksgiving is the fruit of true willing obedience. The Lord is the object of our worship, and to praise His holy name shows respect for His efficiency. In Psalms 50:23, God says, "Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me." Then in Romans 11:1, we are told that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith relies upon God as being able and willing to save to the uttermost all who come to Him. As we speak of God's power in praise and thanksgiving, we show that we appreciate the love that He is constantly giving us, that we are grateful for the mercies and favors He bestows on us, and that the whole soul is wakened to the realization of God's glory. This past year has been kind of rough on me health-wise. And I'm thankful that the Lord has brought me through to this point. I'm sorry. Forgive me, please. I've learned a lot about the Lord. And I've learned a lot about myself, about who I am. And I know now more than ever how full of grace and how dependable my God is, and how I trust Him now more than I have ever had ever before. And I am so thankful for the opportunity to be able to continue to praise Him. I praise Him and I thank Him for all that He has done for me. We are told in Review and Herald, paragraph 3 in November 20th, 1900, and you'll have to excuse me because I have to move these papers around, that the absence of praise and thanksgiving pleases the enemy of God. You know, if we don't praise God, that Satan is happy. The line of demarcation between those who utter the holy name of God in blasphemy and those who praise Him with heart and with voice is clear and distinct. He who is truly converted will glorify the Lord with heart and with voice. He will show that God is in everything, and he will tell others how God shows His beauty and His love through us, through all of His creation. He will be led to give glory to His holy name. You know, I will continue to praise Him and thank Him because I believe in Him, and He is a dependable God. He's always available and able to handle any of life's situations He gives us. And He gives us His promises, and He fulfills them. All we have to do is look at the Bible, the Word of God, to know how dependable God is. Historical, archaeological, and scientific evidence shows the reliability and dependability of God. There are 66 books, 40 authors, written over a period of 116 years, and yet it doesn't contradict itself. How many of us in here, if we see an incident happen or know that something has happened, how many different versions of it will go out of this building? But yet, 40 authors over a period of 1,600 years, and nothing can be contradicted. You know, I read other works, and I know that you do too. But if they do not conform to what the Bible says, then I have a problem with it. We can always trust what God's Word says, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. and the Word was with God. We can believe in and trust and depend on God because He is the Word. If you will open your Bibles, John 1 continues, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him," you know what happened? What happened? "To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of His fullness have we received, and grace for grace." The phrase, "the fullness of His grace." I believe and depend on Jesus because of His grace. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace ye are saved, and that through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Our salvation, and we were talking about that this morning in Sabbath school, our salvation is all about His grace, which grants to us total dependence upon God. Grace is the supernatural power of God. Grace is the divine assistance. Grace is the supernatural power of salvation. You know, the scripture says that it is a gift, but it is more than just a gift. Grace is something that God does. It is who He is. He is a graceful entity. God's plan of salvation is that we depend on Him. When you think about other religions that have gods with a small g, it is not about what those gods can do for us. It is about what we can do for those gods. It is how we can appease them so that we can get to that ultimate end. But that's not who our God is. That's not what He does. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you in your weakness." How many of us are weak? I know I am. His grace is sufficient for us because for His power is made perfect in our weakness. And that's what we need. We need perfection. We are not perfect, but we need that perfection that comes from outside of us. We need that perfection that comes from Jesus Christ in order to overcome the weaknesses that we have. What He is us is that the whole Calvary plan, the whole plan of salvation, is that we can depend totally on Him. And the amazing thing about it is that He expects us to depend on Him. He wants us to depend on Him. He provides us with the transforming power of His Word. That is important because when we develop a relationship with the Lord, we learn to come and depend totally on His Word. It comes to the point where we lean not on our own understanding, but on what His Word says. And that was another thing that was brought out in our Sabbath school lesson this morning, that when He is leading, that we automatically walk in His footsteps. When we have been transformed then we are not going to vary to the left or to the right. We are going to walk where He leads us. We can depend on Him. And the more we have an intimate relationship with His Word, the more we have a relationship with Him. We can depend on Him because of His grace. James 1:21 and 22 tells us that we need to receive and welcome the Word, which implanted into our heart has power to save us from our sins, to save our souls. But then he tells us, that we need to be doers of His Word and not hearers only. You know, we can fool ourselves. We can have it up here and we say, well, I know what His Word says. But it needs to be in our hearts. We need to be doing what He says rather than just having that head knowledge. The song says, trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So you can know all about the Word that you want to. You can know all of the books of the Bible. You can quote as much as you want to of the Bible. But if you are not living it, if you are not doing what He says, then it profiteth you nothing. What we need to do is depend on Him to walk that straight and narrow path. I believe in and trust in Jesus because He expects us to follow His Word and to do what He says. I believe in and depend on Jesus because He anoints us with His Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 3, we are told that God will grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power inside through His Holy Spirit. We are told that through His Spirit we are able to do exceedingly more than we are able to do, think, or even imagine. If we walk in surrender to God, it is amazing how He can use us when even our human attributes do not seem sufficient. And I don't know about you, but I know that I can't do anything for Him on my own. I have to have His Spirit working through me in order to perform whatever it is that is being done. I believe in Him and depend on Him because He grants us His Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct our paths. How do we get this Holy Spirit power? You know, what does He say we need to do? What do we need to do? We need to ask for it. He says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask for it. So I believe and trust in Jesus because, and depend on Jesus because He gives us His Holy Spirit. I believe and depend on Jesus because He just does not give us His Holy Spirit. He also gives us spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then in Ephesians 6:12-18, we are told, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Then Paul goes on to tell us what that armor of God is. And you know what the armor of God is. And as Paul describes that armor, what he would have been doing was to look at the Roman soldier of his day. And the Roman soldier was decked out in armor that covered his body to completely protect it. He had something from his head to his foot to take care of any of the slings and arrows that would have been foisted against him. So Paul tells us that we need to have that spiritual armor that covers us. And that spiritual armor, of course, starts with the head. Well, actually, it starts with the belt. And what is the belt that we put on? You know this. Come on, Bible students. We put on the belt of truth. And where does the truth come from? The truth comes from Jesus, from his word, right? And then after the belt of truth, what do we put on? The breastplate of righteousness. And whose righteousness is it that we put on? It is the righteousness of Christ, or the righteousness of Jesus. Then we put on the shoes of the presentation of the gospel of peace. And whose peace is it? It is Jesus' peace. It is that peace that passes all understanding. And after the shoes, what do you put on? Well, we don't have that now, but there is a shield. And that shield is the shield of faith. And it is held out in front of you in the right hand. And it protects us from all of the evil that comes in. And where does that faith come from? Who gives us that faith? It is the faith in Jesus Christ. And then after the faith, he tells us to put on a helmet. And that is the helmet of salvation. And who gives us salvation? It is Jesus who gives us the salvation. And then he tells us to pick up our sword. And what is the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And who has given us that word of God? It is Jesus who has given. So when he tells us he gives us spiritual weapons, in a word, he's telling us that he has given us Jesus. And so I believe in Jesus and I depend on him because he has given us spiritual weapons to fight this spiritual battle that we have. I believe in Jesus because and depend on him because he has given us promises. 1 Peter 1:4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." I know that we all have favorite texts and promises that we have committed to memory. And if you don't, and if you haven't, you should. Because there is coming a time, there is in some places even now, where we won't be able to refer to our Bibles because it will be illegal and punishable by death for you to own a Bible. So we need to have these scriptures, we need to have these promises committed to memory. So when the occasion arises, we can present them to the Lord and say, "Here it is, this is what you said, this is what you promised, and I am claiming it." One on which I depend is 1 Corinthians 10:13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." He tells us that everything that happens to us has already happened to somebody else. But God understands that. And he has made a way for us to get through whatever the situation is. So don't despair. You know, when we have our difficulties, when the problems come upon us, "Oh, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? And what am I going to do in the situation?" What we need to do is to take it to God. We need to take it and claim his promises. That he says that there is nothing that has happened to you that has not happened to somebody else. And I have taken care of it with them. And I will take care of it with you. Let's be And we are students of His Word. But let's use His Word as He would have it to be used for our benefit. There are so many reasons. There are so many ways that God is so dependable and why I love Him. In Isaiah 41, 10-20, He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And He goes on to say, it doesn't make any difference where you are. It doesn't make any difference whether you are without water. It does not make any difference if you are in the desert. It does not make any difference what is going on in your situation, that He is there and He will provide. He says, don't be afraid. If you fear anything, fear me. Have that awesome fear of me. But don't be afraid of what is going to happen to you, because I will take care of you. We understand that prophecy is fast being fulfilled. And we are told that in these last days that things will happen very quickly, that movements will be rapid. And if you are looking at anything that is going on in the world, you know that situations are developing. And there is going to come a time when we will be without, when we will have to run, when our very lives will be at stake. And on whom are you going to trust? In whom are you going to depend? There is only one in whom you can trust and depend and believe, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is going to save us. There is nothing that the Lord cannot do and will not do for us. Yes, I believe and depend on God. I believe and depend on God because He is constantly interceding for us in the holy sanctuary. Hebrews 7:25 says He's able to save to the uttermost. We cannot do anything to save ourselves, but we have a Savior that our loving Father sent to this earth to die in our places. He suffered the death that I deserve, that I might have the life that He deserves. Jesus is now in the heavenly sanctuary, interceding for us. You know, as I already said, most of you know that I've been through some difficult problems, health problems this year, and I'm not alone. It seems as if Aiken Church has been besieged by medical situations. But it has been so comforting to know that Jesus is in the sanctuary in heaven as our high priest, and because He came to earth as one of us, He can understand what we are experiencing, and we can depend on Him to respond to our petitions. Can't you see Jesus in the sanctuary as we present our petitions to Him? Can't you see Him coming to the Father and saying, "Here I am. I'm standing in front of her. I'm standing in front of Him. Take my blood and take my righteousness for her and for Him. And forgive." You know, He said He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. No matter what we are going through, He is there just now with us. We can depend on Jesus. The Bible says that we can't put our trust in horses or princes. In other words, we can't put our trust in men or in the stock markets or in any of man's contrivances. You know, all we have to do is to read the newspapers today or listen to the TV and radio reports of what is going to happen to know that depending on the world is futile. Do you know that during Nazi Germany, the currency became so worthless that they were using it to hang as wallpaper in their houses? And I don't know if you have any money, whether you're looking at that now to save you, but your money cannot save you. It is only as we look to Jesus that we are able to be to go through any of the crises that come upon us. There are so many things that Jesus does for you, for us, for each one of us. And I am just so happy that I can depend on him, and so thankful that I can depend on him to take care of each of the situations that we come upon. We've looked at a number of reasons why I believe in God and depend on him. We have a God who gives us grace. He says, depend totally on me and I will give you power. I will equip you to do everything, to be in right standing with me, to have that abundant life. I will give you the Holy Spirit. I will supply your every need. He is faithful to his promises, and everything that he has said, he has done, and he is doing. So, because he is God, he is to be believed, and he is dependable. Because he is God, we must continue to praise him and to be thankful for who he is and what he does for us. The pen of inspiration offers us a closing comment. Christ has declared that the cross, which makes the line of demarcation between his people and the world so distinct, is not a cross of discouragement, but a cross of salvation. Love for the Savior will lead us to acknowledge this. God has given human beings all that ministers to their happiness, and in return, he asks them to lay their gifts and offerings on his altar. May we, at this moment in time, realize that everything that we ever need or think that we need have been taken care of and have been made available to us through the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the holy ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that because of the great sacrifice, we can believe in him and we can depend on him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being that God who is always there. Thank you for being that God who will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us spiritual weapons to fight this battle that is ongoing. But thank you for the promise that you will soon come and take us home with you so that we can be with you eternally in that place that you have prepared or are preparing for us. And everything will be shalom. Everything will be peace for eternity. And we look forward to the time when your Son comes in the clouds of glory. And we pray that we will all be ready to go back with you. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Yeah.